Eagles look to rebound as they head down to the Big Easy to face the New Orleans Saints in a big primetime matchup on Monday Night Football. Welcome to Eagles Green Zone, everybody. I'm Becky Brensinger.
And I'm Bob Bumberry. Yeah, Becky, you got two teams coming off of big losses. One thing we know for sure, down in New Orleans, the Eagles are going to see a high-flying offense with Drew Brees. We're going to examine and analyze how they defend against that in first and 10.
And I sat down with former defensive end Mike Mamula.
We're getting real close to the Sweet 16 of the bracket breakdown in our search for the greatest Eagle of all time. You still have time to vote at philadelphiaeagles.com/vote.
All here on Eagles Green Zone.
Hello and welcome to First and Ten. I'm Bob Bumbera. As we take a closer look at the next team for the Eagles, the next opponent, but you know Dan Klecko and Adam Kaplan, a smart man once said, you know, you can't move forward unless you learn and examine your past. Dan, I think that was you who actually said that.
Was that me? Yeah.
So we got to start.
As far as he knows.
We have to look at the past, the last game for the Philadelphia Eagles. Certainly this is not what the Eagles had in mind, Adam Kaplan. They had 2 weeks. What happened in this game?
Yeah, it's funny. The last time we were on, we were talking about how the bye and how great Andy Reid is through the bye, 13-0, and we expected to come out pretty well in this game. And we know they're facing a Falcon team that was undefeated, but you know, what happened in this game? It started on the first series, a penalty on Jason Babin. They could not get it. Six straight third downs, defense could not get off the field. That was it. A couple bad penalties on the second drive, two penalties, one on the first drive. Even when they get to Matt Ryan, then they make a mistake on the back end. Just too many mental errors, too many mistakes in that game. That, to me, is how you sum up their defense last game.
Well, let's analyze this game coming up Monday night in New Orleans. You got two teams coming off of ugly losses. The Saints have had just a brutal year, and it's all about the offense with New Orleans. And you first talk about Drew Brees. So is it just the Saints trying to open it up as much as they can and hope to outscore the Eagles in a shootout?
I think that's what's going to happen. I think that's Drew Brees' MO. That's what he is. He likes to get the ball downfield. He's a vertical passer. But I think they're just missing Sean Payton. You know, Drew's missing his right-hand man. He's missing the guy that he game plans with, that is his eyes on game day, you know, that's standing off to the side. He's missing that right now. And I think that's where the Saints' problem is. They can still be explosive on any given Sunday. Just Denver did a real good job against them last week.
Yeah, and I think that the problem is, and we talked, the Eagles not running the football. They make no attempt to run the football.
Yeah, they didn't even try. Yeah.
Their pass run ratio is a joke. They're going to throw the ball downfield, and it's a big challenge for the Eagles defense because Jimmy Graham might be the NFL's best tight end with Gronkowski. He's playing on a bad ankle. Colston's great sitting underneath. Devery Henderson every once in a while gets downfield, but the guy's an X factor because I couldn't imagine trying to cover this guy. It's Darren Sproles, the diminutive running back.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, him and Lance Moore, too. I mean, there's so many weapons on this team. We talked about Atlanta last week. It's kind of the same thing with this team right here.
Well, I'm going to talk about, you know, this porous defense of the Saints. So if they're as bad as you say and the statistics play it out, you would think logically that the Eagles would want to keep that Saints offense off the field. So
yes.
What would you think they would
That's
do?
A good
you
point.
Would think that they would run the ball more,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and I mentioned McGahee earlier. He destroyed the Saints' run defense. And it's weird Broderick Buncley didn't play in that game before Bronco and Eagle, because they went nickel in that game and dime a lot, so Buncley didn't have to play. But everyone's running on the Saints, okay? I agree with both of you guys. Give it to McCoy. Help Vic out. Get that offensive line feeling confident about what they're doing.
You know, they can't rush the passer very good either, so I think they're going to look at that. They're going to think they can go out there and throw the ball over the field. But the Saints are playing at home. Everyone's a different team at home, especially these dome teams. I mean, you look at the Saints historically over the last couple of years at home, they're phenomenal. So, I mean, the way to take a crowd out of it, the way to slow down that pass rush, hand the ball to Shady. So let's see.
Well, I mean, as far as when the Eagles, you know, plan out this offensive game plan, is this one of those ones where you don't try to outsmart yourself? Because you know the Saints know you're going to run the ball, so you go opposite. Is this the one you just try to run it down their throat as much as you can?
You know, that's a good question, but I think it'll still be 60-40. This is a game where it should be 60 pass, 40 run. But when they run the ball, there's no reason to think, Dan, that they're not going to be successful. Because as we said, the Saints don't stop the run at all. They cannot rush the passer at all. Nothing seems to be working for Steve Spagnuolo. So to me, I think pretty much any way they dial it up, they should have success.
Oh, I agree 100%. I mean, that's Adam laid it all out for you. You really, like I said, this defense is so historically bad. They're bad. They're really, when you watched the things, and I know Peyton Manning's a different animal, but the things he, Willis McGahee, really the whole Broncos offense did to this team, I can't see any reason why this team can't have success against them.
He is former NFL player and Eagle Dan Klecko and NFL insider Adam Kaplan. This is First and 10. Thanks, guys, as we switch gears a bit and we take a look back at an Eagle from the past. Becky has more on Mike Mamula.
We're here with Mike Mamula. Now, Mike, you are still the 13th all-time leader in sacks. How does it feel to still hold that position? Can you reflect on your career for us a little bit?
13 is the lucky number, I guess. It was great. I enjoyed it. I came to town not really knowing what to expect. Fans were tremendous. The coaching staffs that we had here, the ownership, to this day they still take care of myself and other players. So it was a great time.
Does it still feel like an honor to still hold that high of a rank?
Sure. Yeah. No. Absolutely. I mean, I wish it was higher, obviously, but you know, it's still an honor to have played in the NFL and to be here in Philadelphia.
Now, I don't know if you noticed, but Willie Rofe mentioned you by name in his Hall of Fame speech.
Yeah, it was pretty funny actually. I was watching it with my daughter. My daughter was on her device, and then all of a sudden he said my name, and her ears perked up. She's like, did he just mention you? So, yeah, I had a really good game against Willie, so he was probably, recognizing some of the people that gave him some grief. So,
did that shock you?
I didn't expect it, but, it was good to hear.
You were one of the first people to train for the Combine, and now thousands of players do it. Like, was that your idea or trainers? How did that come about?
Well, there was a guy who actually I think still works with Tom Coughlin at the Giants, Jerry Palmieri. He would have us do combine drills during winter workouts, and really nobody knew what we just were working out. But lo and behold, those were all like all the muscle memorization type of things that he had us doing were all the things that you had to do in the combine. So I was doing well there, and then moving on, and it was just like it was a really good preparation, not knowing that I was preparing for it.
I mean, you had a productive career, but some people would say that you weren't a fan favorite. Why do you think that is?
I'll say what I always say. Philadelphia is an awesome place, and the fans are incredible.
Now, you were born in upstate New York, and you met your wife here. You had kids here. What made you want to stay and call Philadelphia home?
Happy wife, happy life, and Philadelphia is a great place. It's a hidden treasure. There's so many diverse areas, and name recognition is still here, and it's really a great place. Close enough to home, close enough to Boston. I still have people in both places that I could go see. So I like it here.
Some people might not realize this, but you still have a link to the Eagles doing background checks for your business. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've been working with my company, CSS. We've been working with the Eagles now probably for 3 or 4 years, providing background screening for executive type of positions. And, we probably may even run your background check at some point.
Oh, boy.
But you got in, so it was all good. Yeah, no, that's we do a great job at what we do. And I'm very pleased every time that, we were able to call up and they tell us that we're doing a good job for them.
Now, you have a little boy and a little girl, and I'm one of three children. And I know that if my father was in your position, he would run background checks on all the boyfriends that I ever had. Are you going to do that to your kids?
It's coming. It's coming. And it's not too far away. They're not so little anymore. They're probably like 5'7 and 5'5, and they're 12 years old. So it should be next 4 or 5 years, something may be happening.
What's one little nugget that most people don't know about Mike Mamula?
My mother's maiden name is Jamula with a J.
So if your mother took hyphenated her name, she'd be Jamula Mamula.
Yeah, Jamula Mamula.
Nice. Random fact that we didn't know about him.
See, there you go.
Eagles Green Zone is brought to you by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Dunkin' Donuts, America runs on Dunkin'. And Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment. With 9 games remaining in the regular season for the Philadelphia Eagles, we are 3/4 of the way to the Sweet 16 of the bracket breakdown in our search for the greatest Eagle of all time. And there's still time for you to vote. Go to philadelphiaeagles.com/vote and you vote for your greatest Eagle of all time. All right, we're going to look at the bracket from last week. as we bring back Adam Kaplan and Dan Klecko. And Dan Klecko, as we look at the winners, I distinctly remember you saying something about kickers not advancing to the Sweet 16.
In my book, that doesn't fly. He's a kicker going against a regular player. But hey, I get it. People remember David from a couple years ago. They love him. He was probably the greatest kicker ever in this franchise, one of the greatest kickers of all time. But still, to beat Wilbert Montgomery, Adam.
Come on. Wilbert, number 31. In my lifetime, probably one of the two or three best running backs in the history of this football team and a very good running backs coach. Akers did win a lot of big games when the kicker. But again, you said it's a kicker. It's a kicker. Running back, come on.
I mean, and he continues to be great out in San Francisco. David, I love you, but come on, Wilbert. Well, Adam, let's look at this week's and let's see our picks. And, talk about who we think is going to sneak through. Brian Dawkins versus Hugh Douglas. Look, I love Hugh. I've known him my whole life. I've known him since he was with the Jets. Had some great years here. He's part of those great Jim Johnson defenses. But Brian Dawkins, I think, ultimately is going to challenge Reggie White for the greatest Eagle of all time.
No question about it. I mean, Hugh was instrumental, back in 2004 and 2003, helping Andy Reid get that team to the next level. But he's not in Dawkins' class. I don't think there's any question about it.
No, I don't. We both picked Al Wissard against LeSean McCoy. LeSean, I think, hasn't done it enough, and eventually he will be up there. But, I mean, talk about Al Wissard. He was a guy who was part of the great championship teams, in the 40s, was part of the all-decade team in the 40s. I mean, it's easy to see why we put him through.
Al Wissard has to get up there. He's old-school two-way player, something that was lost in the National Football League. So, he's got to get past there.
And then we go to Harold Carmichael versus Bill Berge. Harold's still part of the franchise, still does a lot of great here. Bill, we still see him around. He was one of the great players of his generation, too. But Harold, I mean, you talk to a lot of people from that day and age. He gets mentioned for the Hall of Fame.
He was, a rarity, a big guy who could run. Old number 17 was fantastic. And Berge was my favorite player growing up, old number 66. If he didn't blow out his knee, he's another guy who would have got, I thought, Hall of Fame consideration. He was tremendous. He was an old school middle linebacker, and I love watching him. Yeah, he is. I was a big fan of his growing up.
Sonny Jurgensen, Trent Cole. This one surprised me a little bit because Sonny Jurgensen's career was more with Washington than it was with Philly, and how much Trent has been here. He's a fifth round pick, really where he's come from. That one surprised me a little bit, but still, Sonny Jurgensen in the Hall of Fame. You can see where that vote went. I'll tell you what, there's going to be some fun ones to watch this week. And Bob, tell us again how we can go vote on the online.
Well, Dan, you can go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/vote and vote for your greatest Eagle of all time. Well, we're going to go off the playing field and onto the playground as the Eagles in the offseason had a chance to build a playground right here in Philadelphia.
Planning this event for about 7 months. This is our 16th annual Eagles Playground build. We've been doing this every year and it's grown every year. And here we are today to transform this playground, the school, and the spirit of the kids and the staff inside.
Man, the underground playground's what we're gonna do today. We're gonna paint a little bit, have a little fun. You know what I'm saying?
We take a school that really has nothing before we arrive here. We bring a group of the Eagles organization, the players, the coaches, all of our Eagles staff, and we join them together with the kids. And it's really important to involve them because when we leave, the kids are here for years to come, and it becomes their play structure, it becomes their school, and something that they take pride and ownership in.
It's very important that one of the first things new players do as part of the Eagles is the playground build. It sets the tone for what our priorities are. It's one thing to be a popular football franchise, but who you are as a person is the most important, and set that tone right away when they join the Eagles.
For years, it's been nothing but concrete. It's literally, this is a huge space of, it was nothing. I mean, when there was nothing out here, they would play football, they would get hurt, and they would still play football.
We pretty much transformed the entire school so that it becomes this haven for the kids at the school so they can play, they can dream, they can imagine, they can be kids.
There's a lot of things to do out here. They can go on the slide or play football or play chess, the little chess table and stuff.
We have an outdoor classroom setting. We have tree stumps that the kids are going to use for classroom seats. And then we have herb gardens here where we're planting vegetables and herbs that, the kids can grow throughout the year, and they can learn how to, how they can use that as part of their everyday food.
Get it in there good. I want it to have a good color.
Hopefully the kids, they'll remember this for their lifetime, and they'll remember that, you know, that this organization came out and did something in their school, brightened up their community, and that that will inspire them and motivate them for one day that they'll do the same when they get to be grown up.
This schoolyard is clean, and then we got something to play on. Everybody was just happy to come outside and have something to play with.
When you just rebuild a school that looked the way this school looked, then it just makes everyone feel better about being here. The kids feel better about attending school.
The owners, the players, everybody take time out to give to a school, to give the kids. They're investing in their future. I really, in my heart, am so genuinely appreciative. They are invested in kids. It's more than just a playground. It's changing us. It's changing our schools. It's been changing the culture. This is wonderful. I can't say thank you enough.
Join the Eagles and the American Red Cross on December 1st for the 5th annual Eagles Blood Drive. All presenting donors will receive a limited edition Todd Harriman's number 79 t-shirt. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit www.redcrossblood.org/eagles to make your appointment today.
There is no brotherly love in Philadelphia for the Cowboys. In the highly anticipated return of T.O., the fans were seeking payback for a disappointing 2005, but it was Lito Shepard who got that revenge with his 102-yard interception return. We give you Prior to the Snap.
In 2006, it was another classic Eagles-Cowboys game coming down to the waning seconds of the fourth quarter. Although this one felt even bigger, as there was a new enemy in blue looking to get revenge on his former team. As a hushed crowd watched Drew Bledsoe drop back to try to tie the game with only 31 seconds left, it was Lito Shepard who instantly changed the atmosphere as he intercepted the pass in the end zone and ran it back 102 yards to seal the dramatic Eagles win. But do you remember what happened prior to that snap? Let's rewind and look back at why this play, in this game, felt even bigger than usual. Adding fuel to the annual fire was the return of Terrell Owens to Philadelphia. After a tumultuous 2005 season as a member of the Eagles, Philly fans were eagerly waiting to show their love to their former wide receiver, who was held to zero receptions in the first half of the game. Down by four to start the second half, Donovan McNabb hit rookie wide receiver Hank Basket for his first NFL touchdown on this 87-yard catch and run to put the Birds up three. If you recall, Basket was acquired from the Vikings that summer for the unproductive wide receiver, Billy McMullen. After a Cowboys field goal tied the game in the fourth quarter, McNabb countered with this gutsy flea flicker call and went downtown to Reggie Brown to regain the lead. On their ensuing possession, Dallas was threatening in Eagles territory until there was a little foreshadowing of the final seconds. Lito Shepard picked off an underthrown pass intended for Owens at the 10-yard line to preserve the lead at 7. On the Cowboys' last possession of the game is where it got very interesting and set up the dramatic finish. On 4th and 18 from their own 37-yard line, with just 47 seconds left in the game, the Cowboys were desperate. Bledsoe heaved a 60-yard prayer to Terry Glenn, which unfortunately was answered by Michael Lewis, who was called for pass interference. At this point, the worst thing for Eagles fans to witness would be a Terrell Owens touchdown to tie the game and send it to overtime, which is exactly what the Cowboys tried to do. Fortunately, the pass fell incomplete, but the Eagles weren't out of trouble yet, which is where we began the story. Lito Shepard, who had been out 5 weeks with a sprained ankle, returned to the lineup just in time to seal the victory in the final seconds and produced one of the biggest plays in this storied rivalry.
Eagles Green Zone is brought to you by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Dunkin' Donuts, America runs on Dunkin'. And Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
So, Bob, that bracket breakdown is almost there to the Sweet 16, but if the fans forget where to vote, tell them where to go.
You cannot forget PhiladelphiaEagles.com/vote. Vote for the greatest Eagle of all time as you're getting ready for Monday Night Football, Saints and Eagles down in New Orleans.
And if you want the inside scoop about your favorite players, tweet us your questions. For Bob and Barron, Becky Brensinger, thanks for tuning in to Eagles Green Zone.
You know, that's always the best part. You know, when you can have a relationship with people and no one takes themselves or anyone else too serious. We all know that professional football is a tough, demanding, physical, violent job. But if you could put a smile on someone's face by playing some practical jokes, it kind of puts everyone at ease. And Otho Davis was the master